Do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal, sir?
3 minutes, Your Honor.
Okay. You may proceed.
Yes. Good morning, Chief Judge. Appreciate the opportunity to speak in front of you today. Facts in this case were rather straightforward, as they should be of anything that starts with investigating regarding cockfighting. A trooper with over 19 years of experience in the course of a cockfighting investigation learned that another trooper had found marijuana on a person. When the person showed up to a state police office to inquire about the return of a vehicle, inexplicably, that other trooper returned the marijuana to the individual.
Counsel, let me interrupt you a little bit.
Yes.
I mean, we're familiar with the facts. Clearly, the trooper did, the supervisor, the sergeant, embarrassed this trooper by putting out, confidential information regarding this incident. And he was ultimately fired or terminated. His employment was terminated as a result of it. As I understand your legal arguments, the primary one seems to be that only the director of the basically the Human Resources Department can issue render the final decision and can't delegate the review process to any of his subordinates. Is that correct?
Your Honor, yes, that is correct. And I know in some of the other cases that we've heard today, each of the judges talked about May and May.
There's like 15,000 or so state employees or thereabouts.
Right.
That's a lot of reviews to go through.
Right, and I certainly understand that. But the statute is clear. It does, part of the statute talks about, the department or the EDR.
The statute also goes on to say the director shall perform all acts and employ such personnel as may be required, necessary, or convenient to carry out and then
right.
his duties, essentially, one of which is the one we're talking about here. So why doesn't that statute permit him to delegate to subordinates some of those duties, including this review process that we're talking about?
Certainly regarding administrative efficiency, that would make sense. And again, we would rest on the fact that it does say shall, and at least, there should be a final. The director should, and in this case, it was a female director. She should at least, sign off on a finding. The other thing that we, found regarding that shall is that the part of the review process, part of the, two-part review process regarding, Trooper Murphy appealed from the administrative hearing was that the EDR process, the EDR review was conducted by EDR director, and the other part of the review was conducted by the same individual. And so it would seem that at least in the reading the shall language, that regarding a constitutional right, which every state employee has a constitutional protective property right to his or her job, should at least have regarding something that regards two separate appeals should at least be heard by two separate people, and the director
In order for us to find on your behalf, we have to find that there's been an error of law. What error of law, what statute or judicial ruling has been violated here?
I think the fact that the director didn't have any, the director didn't take part in this decision. She delegated that, one part of the decision went to a review officer, and then she delegated the other part of the decision to the same review officer. And, she didn't take the shall responsibility, to heart.
To reach that conclusion, do we have to also conclude in this case that, as applied to a state employee, shall is a mandatory provision, and that individual, the head of DHMR, and only that person must sign that compliance with policy letter?
That would be our argument, yes, sir.
Do they have an auto pen?
Well, you know, if there's an issue with the statute, then the legislature, I guess, should take that up. But, you know, again, reading the language as it is, it does say shall.
In so many cases, the Supreme Court, our Supreme Court, has said when applied to a state official, the term shall also includes may unless the language expressly excludes may. And I don't see any express exclusion here.
Right. Well, if we also go back to as Judge Humphrey said, you know, disclosing the information that was embarrassing to this other judge, this other trooper, that was confidential. It was not confidential, and I think the record bears that out. It was not confidential at the time that he talked about it. And I think that, you know, that a trooper finds marijuana on somebody and gives it back to the same person, that in of itself, I would almost be surprised if somebody didn't talk about that trooper.
But neither our court nor the circuit court here can reverse based on the factual finding made by the hearing officer. That is not subject to review.
Right, but the grievance procedure and the policies of the state police are that, and I would argue that that is part of law, not necessarily part of the facts. The grievance procedure and the policy of the state police is that it's only the divulging of confidential information that is, you know, subject to an investigation. And at the time he said it relatively, or he disclosed, I guess I should say, relatively soon after it happened to another trooper as well. It wasn't like he went to the newspaper or something and said it. So it wasn't confidential when he said it. So for him to, I mean, this, you know,
that's not really, admittedly, I might have done something different had I been the hearing officer, but I wasn't. And very clearly our role is very limited here in these appeals. Judge Petty's point, though, is shall, as he's correctly pointed out, shall has been interpreted to be discretionary unless there's expressed language that the General Assembly meant shall means absolutely shall. And here, not only do we not have expressed language to that effect, we arguably have expressed language the opposite way, which the language I read earlier, which says the director shall perform all acts and employ such personnel as may be required, necessary, or convenient to carry out his responsibilities with respect to employee dispute resolution. That seems to me to suggest employ such personnel as may be required, necessary, or convenient. The director can say, I'm a busy person and I need to have, you know, hire hearing examiners and folks like that that I can delegate some of this stuff to.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I don't think we would expect the director to, you know, actually examine or you know, be the hearing officer for each. But at the very least, with the shall language, the director should sign off on something. She shouldn't delegate everything, or she shouldn't delegate the final ultimate responsibility, which is, you know, which should be to sign off on. You know, again, this isn't just a slight matter of administrative issues. This is, you know, this trooper lost his job, and so in the, you know, the Supreme Court's been pretty clear that's a constitutionally protected property right, and so we should be a little more strict when it comes to that. If he had just been put on administrative leave or lost pay for 2 weeks or, you know, whatever else I might make up here, then I might consent to that that theory. But I think this way he got the ultimate punishment, and with the ultimate there's 15,000 or whatever was said earlier, you know, there's a many more than certainly the director could hear, but most of those are probably administrative punishments or something much less. The loss of the job seems like we would want to at least make the director sign off
but
on that.
How do we draft an opinion that tells the director when the director can delegate and when they can't? That seems to me to be almost an impossible task.
I guess you could slice it just to, you know, when termination of the state employment has been the ultimate it has been the ultimate action that's happened.
But isn't that a policy decision? I mean, isn't that something that if that's going to be the rule, it ought to be adopted by the General Assembly, or really it'd have to be by the General Assembly if it's reviewable by us.
I'd still fall back on the property right there. I mean, he suffered the ultimate consequence of this, and it does say shall, and it certainly director.
But I think Judge Petty's point is, we have to either say shall means shall for all things the director is required to do, or shall means may for all things. We can't parse it and say sometimes shall means shall, but sometimes shall means may, and we can't alter the terms of the statute.
Well, if the statute, and I'm sorry, I don't have the statute right in front of me, but as I remembered, if the statute does, the statute does parse, as necessary, the director can delegate as necessary. You certainly have things like, sitting down, reviewing everything, being the hearing officer and those things. But, the final say, the final word on a state employee losing his or her job, probably should. I mean, that's an important constitutional right, and that safeguard in there is shall. So the discretion to the director to delegate other things that make administrative efficiency
a pitch to be made to the General Assembly as opposed to us, because essentially you'd be asking us to judicially add words to the statute that don't exist?
I'm not sure we're asking to add words that don't exist. I think maybe to just narrow what can be delegated, or to make more clear what can be delegated when important constitutional right is at stake.
Mr. Jamieson, if we accept your argument, wouldn't the remedy here be to remand to the Circuit Court with instructions to remand to DHRM with instructions for the director to actually sign the letter?
I think it could be to remand to the court to reverse it because the court didn't find that the director had that final, and I see I'm out of time, I'll finish here quickly, to do that final break against somebody losing their constitutional right, without the director, the most important person in that that agency, to sign off on it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Kinser?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Your Honor, insofar as the issue of the policy review, and it is only the policy review that goes to the director, it goes to the director as a title. I think in addition to the statute 2.21202.1, which sets forth additional powers and duties of the director, and that's where the several of Your Honors were quoting the perform all acts and employ such personnel as may be required, necessary, or convenient to carry out the provisions of this section. And this particular statute is directed discreetly to employment dispute resolution and to the state grievance procedure. In a broader sense, 2.2-604 is the statute that governs all agency heads, and it deals with exactly the point that has been raised and the point we've been talking about, and that is the performance of duties assigned to an agency. And that statute says that the chief executive officer shall be responsible for any duty or task imposed upon his agency. The chief executive officer may delegate or assign to any officer or employee of his agency any task required to be performed by him or to the agency. The agency head is always much like the captain of the ship. The agency head will always be ultimately responsible. But the agency head, in for probably the past 100 years or more, one cannot run an enterprise, whether it's a governmental or private enterprise, without delegation. And the General Assembly recognized in 2.2-604 that whether we are talking the director of DHRM, whether we are talking, let's say, in 46.2, the code, the motor vehicle code, is replete with how many times that the superintendent of state police, how many times the superintendent shall be out checking to make sure your glass isn't too dark, and the superintendent shall make sure that your inspection stations are doing the job right, and the superintendent shall do
They sure haven't shirking their job lately, haven't they?
Excuse me, sir.
They sure have been shirking their job lately, haven't they?
Yes, sir. So that would be, that is an absolute impossibility. It's also contrary to the clear expression of the General Assembly, the reasonable, rational expression of the General Assembly, that one has to delegate, that whenever the statute says that the agency head or the director shall do it, he may designate. Always responsible for the end result, but shall designate. That's exactly what the process that occurred here. Secondly, there's nothing magical. This review, which is within DHRM, two reviews essentially, and the grievance are instructed to, if they have a problem with adherence to the grievance procedure itself, you didn't follow the grievance procedure, then that, at the time that this grievance arose, then that issue would be addressed to the employment dispute resolution office, and they would make evaluations and make rulings on whether or not the proceedings below were indeed consistent with the grievance procedure. Now, for matters of policy, was this offense a violation of state or agency policy? This offense properly categorized as a Group 1-2-3 offense? Was the agency within its managerial discretion in carrying out the disciplinary actions that they took? Then that is directed to the director shall. They are two wholly separate and not interdependent tasks that are undertaken. The appellant had argued at both the trial court down the hall and here that this is somehow an intermediate appeal or an additional appeal, that we've got new eyes on the case. Well, they're looking at two separate and distinct things. The director had the right to delegate, and the policy issues, as concluded upon proper delegation, the policy issues that DHRM performs and the grievance procedure issues that DHRM perform are neither by case law from this court and from our Supreme Court indicate that is not reviewable as law.
You mentioned the three set of eyes on the issue. I think the appellant uses that argument, and it talks about the tripartite review an employee is entitled to. Am I correct that tripartite review is the hearing officer, DHRM, and then the circuit court?
Yes, Your Honor.
Are the three sets of eyes that he's entitled to have review his dismissal.
Yes, Judge Petty, and the tripartite review of DHRM is essentially two-pronged within DHRM, because both EDR and the director obviously are within DHRM. So in this instance, and I think Judge Humphreys made an observation, if I were the hearing officer, I might have decided things differently. I think all judges think that in these type of cases. And the issue is the guiding light of this court's case. What is contradictory to law? What that we can review is contradictory to a statute, a constitutional provision, a regulation, or a judicial decision? And the answer on the record that the court has before it is nothing is. The review was properly done. The delegation was properly...
Wouldn't you agree that if the appellant is correct in his interpretation of the word shall in 2.2306, that would be an error of law? If the statute requires the director himself or herself to do the policy review, that would be an error of law.
Yes, Your Honor, but that would... There'd be an awfully... The shepherds would be working overtime.
I just want to make sure there is a potential error, or a potential error of law alleged.
There's a potential error of law alleged that goes against the rather lengthy jurisprudence.
Yeah. As opposed to, say, the appellant's reliance on the grievance procedural manual, which is not a law, a statute, a judicial edict.
It's a process manual that they follow in the grievance, but it is not law when someone comes before this court and says, "Look, you know, we didn't have a break after 2 hours or whatever." So, if the court has any further questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, we would ask the court to affirm the order entered in the Rockingham Circuit Court and deny the appeal.
Thank you very much. So, Jameson, you've got your rebuttal time remaining.
Yeah, thank you. Excuse me. I think we would just fall back on what I said earlier regarding, administrative tasks can be delegated, but when you get that to, the ultimate punishment of loss of job, it does have shall, and it should, the director should be the final break on that. Did the person's constitutional rights, were they honored, were they respected, before he's terminated, which he was.
Do you agree that, to the extent that we have used the term tripartite review, we've referred to the hearing officer, DHRM, and the circuit court?
Yes, and I also agree. I think you made the one correction, and I would agree with that, that within DHRM, there's a two-prong. So there's three, and one of those three has two parts, the EDR and the DHRM. And as we said in our brief, that was one of our other issues, is that the director of EDR looked at the grievance procedure, whether it exceeded reasonableness that he could be terminated for divulging information that was not under investigation at the time in DHR. And then the same person looked over at the other issue. We would also, part of, again, that constitutional right, at least he should have, two separate eyes looking at it, because it appeared that it was, they were released on the same day, and it looked like it was almost just an administrative approval of what had happened below. So, we'll just say that constitutional right that he had, the language says shall. We wouldn't argue that the director has to get down into the weeds and do everything, certainly, but, that
final
break.
Well, as far as his constitutional right, and to the extent you argue a due process violation, he did receive notice and an opportunity to be heard, did he not?
Correct. Right. But she did not sign off the
but
director.
That would not be a constitutional due process violation. All the Constitution requires procedurally is notice and opportunity to be heard.
But the statute is created to protect that. I think the statute is, the whole process that's created under the statute is there to protect that constitutional right, and I don't think you can separate the two.
All right. Thank you very much for your argument.
Thank you.
We will greet counsel, and then we will stand adjourned for